Why? Because as you illustrate to your friends, to your brothers and sisters, to your family members, to your colleagues about what a Christian is supposed to be, these scriptures are very helpful. Good morning. You can come to the front. Come to the front. Yeah. So it's easier for me to talk to you guys, okay? If you look at the next slide, you realize that it's a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, okay? And have you ever seen this picture before? And how many of you actually seen this picture before? How many of you? Can I see some hand? This painting. Yeah, where do you see this painting before? Where? In Paris. Wow. Yeah, actually it was not in Paris. Yeah, this picture was actually in New York City. Yeah. Yeah. If you notice that this is a picture called Salvatore Mundi. November 16 last year, in New York City, one of the auction, okay? They have a great auction there. It's called an art auction, almost an annual auction. And it was sold for a price. And do you know how much actually being sold for? I'll give you three prices, and you're going to choose. Number one, 100 million. Number two, 300 million. Number three, 450.3 million. How many say it's 100 million? Can I see some hand? 100 million? Okay, it's like auction right now, okay? Second, 300 million. How many of you say 300 million? Okay, we got two. How many say it's 450.3 million? You guys are very smart. You guys are very smart, okay? This picture, this painting, was sold for $450.3 million. It's a record-broken price. Okay, it was sold for a Saudi prince who happens to be not a Christian, by the way, and he is a Muslim. He's a Muslim. Why would a Muslim like to purchase Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior? You can go to next one. And the name of Salvatore Mundi is the Savior of the world. Savior of the world. Why would a Muslim to buy the main figures of Christianity? Why? I'm going to tell you one of the most important things is there are two major themes of Christianity. The number theme, one, number one, that's the number one, is the saving gospel of this person, Jesus Christ. And by the way, this painting worth 450.3 million, okay? But that's one single flaw. There's one flaw in this painting. And up to this point, by the way, this picture was painted in 1500, okay, by a person by the name of Leonardo da Vinci. Have you heard of that name, Leonardo da Vinci? Have you actually seen a picture called The Last Supper? The Last Supper? Okay. And these are one of the 15 picture painting that Leonardo da Vinci had painted. And how many of you realize that this picture is the real one or a counterfeit? How many of you have that ability to find out? But if you look at carefully, on his left hand, he's holding a crystal ball, right? Now, when you look through a crystal ball with the physics of law of inflection, okay, law of inflection, shouldn't the picture behind the crystal ball be distorted? Right? Shouldn't it be distorted? But was it distorted on that crystal ball? No. So that's the main flaw of that painting. That's the main flaw. And a lot of people said this Saudi Arabian prince wasted his 450.3 million. He purchased the counterfeit version. He purchased the counterfeit Rolex. Now, it's the same thing. The Lord Jesus Christ used his blood to purchase you and myself. And remember, you and myself worth way more than 450 million. Because he's using his blood. Okay? That when Jesus purchased you, are you the real one? Are you the real Christian? Are you a real Christian? Are you the real Prada? Or are you the counterfeit? That's my main theme. Okay? So the first theme is about the saving grace, the saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first, it's just like when you start reading the four gospel, John, Luke, Matthew, and Mark, and you realize the entire gospel is talk about the ministry of Jesus himself, how he came to this world, how he died for you. That's the ministry of the gospel. Okay? Especially when you come to John. And John, in his chapter 20 and verse 31, he said, the reason I have written this is because you got to know the name of Jesus. And through his name, you will have life, eternal life. And then it comes to Acts. And they come to Acts, and in chapter 8, there's a guy who called Simon. And this is actually the proclamation of the gospel and the expansion of the church. And it comes to the epistle of Paul, James, and also for John, Peter, and Jude. They all talking about the elucidation of the theme of the gospel. They further illustrate the elements of the gospel. And they come to Revelation, and they talk about the accumulation, the climax of the gospel, that the Lord Jesus is going to be crowned as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So the entire New Testament, it focuses on one single theme, the saving grace, the saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Having said that, there's a second theme. It's a second theme in the New Testament. And the second theme is the salvation of Jesus Christ must be assessed to its reality. That really means, have you believed in the real gospel, or are you the real Christian? So it starts with John the Baptist. He confronted the Pharisees, the religious leaders, and John the Baptist asked them to display the fruit of repentance. And then after John the Baptist, in the epistle of Paul, especially in Acts, he's talking about this guy called Simon. And this Simon person, later on we're going to talk about, he claimed to be a Christian. He believed himself to be a Christian, but he's not a Christian at all. So most of you got it very, very serious. You believe yourself being a Christian. Are you a real Christian? And this is number very important second theme. Okay? And it comes to the Revelation. There are seven churches. And how out of the seven churches in Revelation, how many churches of this book are real church? How many? Out of seven, how many church? Out of the seven churches in Revelation are real church? How many? Only one. And the church from Philadelphia. They're not real church. And you're going to ask yourself, are we in a real church? Are we actually preaching the sermon of Jesus Christ? Out of the seven churches, only one church, a real church. It's Church of Philadelphia. You're talking about the Church of Laodicea, and they are lukewarm, and Jesus wants to spit them out. And talk about Ephesians, they lost the initial love to Jesus Christ, except the Church of Philadelphia. So two major themes. Number one, the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, the salvation of Jesus must be assessed to its reality. Okay? It's extremely important. It's like I was driving on 401. And usually, when you get first into the highway, you come to what? The collector lane, correct? But as soon as you get off the collector lane, you're going to get into the express lane. Now, which lane usually can lead to the destination. Which lane? The collector lane. Because once you get to the express lane, you miss the exit. You cannot go to a destination. You might have to take the tour or U-turn. And you're not supposed to get a U-turn in a highway anyway. And how many of you actually have the feeling sometimes when you got on a TDC bus or any public transit and you got on the wrong vehicle, the wrong bus? How many have that experience before? There you go. How many of you actually start to study an exam, okay? Today you study exam. And you get to the exam room, you find that you studied the wrong thing. How many of you have that idea? There you. Oh, how many of you actually married someone and suddenly the next morning find that you married the wrong person? No, seriously. How many? Sorry. Now remember Jacob? Remember Jacob? He was in love with whom? Rachel. But next morning when he saw, who is that person? Who is Leah? He woke up. He married the wrong person. And today, I want you to know that when Jesus purchased you, he would not purchase the wrong merchandise. You understand what I'm saying? You're not the wrong merchandise. You are not the counterfeit Rolex, and you're not the counterfeit portrait of this painting. Okay, next, please. Oh, why is it always going back to this? By the way, can you just fix that if you don't mind? Yeah, just okay. I'm gonna ask you to read for me. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me and is a safeguard for you. Now, think about who wrote this book, and his name is Paul. And where was Paul when he wrote this book? Where was he? Where was he? He was in prison. He was in prison. But the entire theme of the book of Philippians is joy. Okay? And he come to the final part of the books, almost to the final part. Chapter 4, by the way, is the final part. He re-emphasized the theme of rejoice. Finally, my brother, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. The Bible never tells us to rejoice in circumstances. Never. He only wants you to rejoice in the Lord. And I remember there is a difference between joy and happiness. How many of you are very happy today? Very happy. You said, oh, I'm so happy today. Can I see some hand? Yeah. Do you know why you're happy? Why are you happy? Hey? Hey? There's no reason? Hey? It's a couple of things, but probably not to disclose in the public. Am I correct? It could be something very confidential, right? Yeah, okay. But is it depends on something that you're happy? Am I correct? It's got to be something. Okay? So the word happy is happening. It derived from the Latin word happen. What's happening? What's happening? It's circumstantial. It's circumstantial. That means if you have a beautiful family, if you have good health, if you have good wealth, okay? You just pass your exam, you date a beautiful girlfriend, you married a very beautiful wife, having a wealthy husband, you just have success in your business, everything that make you happy, okay? It's happening. What happened? Okay, that's happiness. Where's joy? How many of you actually are joyful today? Very joyful. Can I see someone joyful? Praise the Lord. We have more people who are joyful than being happy, okay? The word joy, okay, it's different from happiness. Remember, joy is in the Lord. It's in the Lord. The Lord, okay, next slide, please. The Lord wants you to rejoice in Jesus. Okay, rejoice in Jesus. Let's see the next slide, please. Okay, I'm going to ask you and I to read it loud and clear. Okay, one, two, three. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today. Okay, number one genuine and distinctive characters of a real Christian is to rejoice in the constant, never change Jesus Christ. Rejoice in Him. Rejoice in the Lord. Now, there are five R that you should remember. Five R. Why are you rejoicing in the Lord? Number one, you rejoice in His reality. You rejoice in His reality. He's real. He's not a fictitious figure. He's not a cartoon figure that we made Him up. So rejoice in His reality. The fact that He came to this world just a couple months ago, we celebrate Christmas, and He came to this world as a tiny baby. The reason why He came to this world, do you know why? Is it to heal people? Is it to open up the blind man's eye? No, not all that. The reason is the second thing. Rejoice in His redemption. Redemption. He delivered you from sin. He saved you from the penalty of sin. He saved you from the destination of hell. Okay? The reason why He came is for redemption. So the number one, we rejoice in His reality. Number two, we rejoice in His redemption. Number three, after 3 days, what happened to Him? We rejoice in His resurrection. There's no individual in this world ever overcome death except our Lord Jesus Christ. And you said, oh, no. The Bible said Lazarus, or the daughter of Jairus, or the son of a widower coming from the city of Nain. These, they rise again. But remember, after they rose, they die again. So that's not counted. Because the fact that after they resurrected, they're supposed to live forever, but they didn't. They die again. Except one individual. And His name is Jesus Christ. So we rejoice in His reality. We rejoice in the redemption. We rejoice in His resurrection. You and I are going to resurrect along with Jesus Christ. So that is why you rejoice. Number four, we rejoice in His return. His returning to us. And then to judge us. But we will be judging along with Him. For the angel. We're going to judge the angel. You know that. We're going to judge the angel. Okay? So His return, that we may be able to judge the angel. We are going to be actually have the same seating plan with Him. The panel to judge the angel. We have the ability to do that. Last but not the least, we rejoice in His reign. Reign means government. In His government. Because in Revelation, Jesus Christ is going to come back in the new heaven and the new earth, and then He will be in complete control. And right now, Jesus Christ is not complete. Who is in control on this world right now? Who is in control now? Who is in control of this world right now? Satan. Jesus Christ is not in complete control yet. So we rejoice in the five R. Number one, His reality. Number two, His redemption. Number three, His resurrection. Number four, His return. Number five, His reign, His government. Now, all these five R, does it change? Does it change? No, it does not change. And yesterday, today, forever. Okay? If you like math, you understand that in an equation of math, there are two elements. Number one, it's called the variables. Variables, right? Number two, it's the constant. And our Lord Jesus Christ is not the variable. Never change. Okay, your health may change, your wealth may change, your success may change, even your mood, your emotion may change. It's not happening. It's not happiness. It's joy. Okay? Rejoice in the Lord. Okay, next place. The second character of a genuine Christian, okay? Let us read it this together. 1, 2, 3. Beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the false circumcision. Okay? It's a constant awareness of a false teaching. Next, please. Okay? You're going to be beware of false teaching. Now, every Sunday we're going to have some speaker here to talk to you about Jesus Christ, about Christianity. And I'm going to advise you, I'm going to warn you, you must have this discernment of what the speaker talk about. Is he telling the truth? Is he based on his scripture? Or is he telling some kind of false teaching? Now, back 2,000 years ago, when Jesus was on this planet, okay, there's one type of false teaching. It's called false circumcision. Do you know what circumcision is, by the way? Anyone? Anyone know what? Yeah, you guys know what circumcision is, okay? It has to do with the male organ, okay? The word circum. Circum means around, okay? The Latin word, the Greek word, it's peri. Circum means peri. And scission means to cut. To cut, okay? So you cut around. You cut around, okay? Peritomy. That is the Greek word, peritomy. To cut around. Why? Because when the baby was born, okay, after 8 days, according to the Jewish culture, okay, they have to cut around the foreskin of the male organ. Okay, only happens to the male. So the female doesn't have, you don't need to worry about. Okay, only happens to the male. Okay, so after they cut the foreskin, okay, they are considered to be clean, to be clean. All right? It's extremely important that they have to be clean. And remember, that's go all the way even to Mosaic time, Moses' time. And keep that in mind. Nowadays, in Mount Sinai Hospital, do they still perform circumcision? Do they still perform circumcision? How many of you say yes? How do you know that, by the way? Very good. Okay? They still perform circumcision. Now, there are two reasons for the circumcision in that hospital. Number one, it's mainly for hygiene purpose. Because the fact that when they cut around the foreskin of the male organ, it eliminates infection. Okay? Number two, for traditional reason. Because they follow the Mosaic law. Okay? So beware of the false teaching is back then, 2,000 years ago, they said, okay, it's good to believe in Jesus. It's good to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, it's okay. But you got to add one more thing. Circumcision. You have to be circumcised in order to be saved. And you have to follow the Mosaic law. Okay? So he add extra stuff. Okay? Extra stuff to Christianity. Okay? That is the false teaching. So they claim that these people, next please. They claim that these people to be a Judaizer. Why? Next please. They claim that they are dog. And back then, dog is not domestic animal. They don't keep dogs at home. Okay, dogs are unclean outcasts. They are unclean, okay? Next, please. Can you read that for me, please? 1, 2, 3. But not even Titus, who was with me, though he was a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. But it was because of the false brothers secretly brought in, who had sneaked in and spied out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, in order to bring us into bondage. Even Titus, he was compelled. He was compelled to be circumcised. Why? Because they insist that circumcision is one of the criteria of salvation. Wrong! How many of you ever heard that, oh, you have to be baptized to be a Christian? Can I see some hand? How many of you say, you must be baptized, otherwise you cannot be saved? How many of you ever heard that? You heard that, right? Do you find that acceptable? You find that acceptable. Huh? I'm going to tell you later on, it's not acceptable. Okay, later on I'm going to tell you. Okay, next please. Okay, there are some misleading evidence of salvation, okay? And can you go next, please? Religious experience. Can you read that for me together loud and clear? 1, 2, 3. For in the case of those who have once been enlightened, have tasted of the heavenly gift, have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit, have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. Now, when it comes to this, is this a Christian? Three things. They taste the holy heavenly gift, partake of the Holy Spirit, taste the good word of God, and the power of the age to come. Is this person a Christian? Is he a Christian? Is this person a Christian? Okay, carry on. And then have fallen away. It's impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucified to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. So the entire scripture here. Is this person a Christian? Huh? Is this a person a Christian? Huh? No. He just has some religious experience. He crucified the Lord Jesus. There is nowhere he repent. So he's not a Christian. I'm telling you, the book of Hebrew is telling you that there are people who have a lot of religious experience, but they never believe in Jesus. They never repent. Next, please. Next. Can you? Okay, this time I'm going to read it for you very carefully. You're going to read it, especially those highlighted words. I want you to be careful, okay? And there was a man named Simon who formerly was practicing magic. Okay, this guy is a sorcerer. He's a magician in the city and astonishing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. He claimed himself as being great, okay? And they all were giving attention and saying, this man is what is called the great power of God. But when they believed Philip, preaching the God, it's kind of Philip is my name too, but he's the evangelist, okay? Philip, and preaching the gospel in the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized. They're being baptized. Now, that explained to you later. And even Simon himself believed. And after being baptized, he continued on with Philip. And he was observed signs and great miracles taking place. He was very amazed. He was astonished, okay? And now when Simon saw the Spirit was bestowed through the laying of the apostle's hand, they actually lay hands on people, okay? And that the spiritual power come on to that person, okay? And he offered them, and that the Spirit was actually upon that person. And Simon saw the Spirit was actually laying on their hands, and he offered money. He's saying, give this authority to me. Give this power to me, okay? So that everyone that I lay my hand will receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to it, let's read it together, the last highlighted sentence. 1, 2, 3. May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part or portion in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Was Simon baptized? Did he believe in Jesus? According to the scripture, did he believe in Jesus? Yeah. Now, what was the assessment of Peter? What was assessment of Peter? Your money perish with you. That means he's going to go to hell. Because his mind is not right with God. Was he saved? No. But he was baptized. He believed in Jesus. I hope each and everyone knowing that, if your mind is not right with God, you thought you can use money to buy the gift of Holy Spirit bestowing. You're wrong. You are wrong. Okay? It's important. Okay, next please. Next please. I'm going to read it for you. There was a young man who ran up to Jesus, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, you know all the commandments, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't bear false witness, don't defraud, honor your parents. And he said to him, teacher, I have kept all these things. I have kept all these things. He kept all his moral code, okay? And one thing you lack, go and sell all that you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But at these words, he was saddened, and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much money. And he thought that by abiding to all this Mosaic law, he can be saved. But is this person gonna be saved at the end? Is he saved? Is he gonna be saved? No. He owned too much money. Next, please. Next. Okay, this time I want you to read it together with me. Matthew 7, 21-23. 1, 2, 3. Not everyone says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven, will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name cast out demons? In your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Okay? Three things they did. Number one, they prophesy in the name of Jesus. Number two, they cast out demons in the name of Jesus. They perform miracle in the name of Jesus. Okay? When I was in a youth fellowship, and one young man who came to me and said, you know, I want to date that girl. Okay? I said, how are you going to say it? And he said to that girl, Jesus inspired me. He said, Jesus inspired me to call you out for dating. Okay? And the girl was so embarrassed. She said, wow, Jesus inspired you to call me you out for dating. And the girl come to me for ask for advice. And I said to this young lady, to her, and I said to her, you can say the same thing. Jesus inspired me not to go out with you. You are abusing the name of Jesus. You're not doing the will of the Lord. They're not doing the will of the Lord. You're abusing the name. We don't use his name for vain. That's one of the commandments. Do not abuse the name of Jesus. Oh, Jesus inspired me. Okay? That almost shut everything out. Jesus inspired me to do this. Jesus inspired me to do that. And of course, there could be some legit reason actually Jesus inspired you, by the way. But if you're doing it for your own lust, sorry, that's wrong. Okay, go to next, please. Can you, this is the actually extremely important, okay? Can you read it together with me? For we are the true circumcision. We worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Three things. Worship in spirit. Number two. Glory in Christ. Number three, put no confidence in your flesh. Next, please. Commit in a spiritual worship. The original term for worship is service, okay? All right. Next, please. I'm going to read it for you. Okay? Now, in Matthew chapter 4, there was an encounter of a Samaritan woman with Jesus, okay? And the Samaritan, after she believed in Jesus, and she asked Jesus, you know what, we celebrate worship. We worship the Lord in Mount Gerizim. And you guys said that you have to worship Lord in Jerusalem. And we worship the Lord in Scarborough, you know? And you guys worship in Mississauga, correct? And she asked, well, should we worship the Lord in Mississauga or should we worship the Lord in Scarborough? Where? Where? But Jesus said, when it comes to the time, it's not in Mississauga. When it comes, it's not in Scarborough. No, 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 no. Okay? We will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such person, the Father seeks to be his worshiper. God, he is a spirit. And those who worship must worship in spirit and truth. Okay? And I want you to keep that in mind. When you come to worship the Lord, okay, I want you to participate. I want you to participate. I went to a church, and I find that a person who is listening to the sermon, but he was playing with his cell phone. And I was talking to him. Are you worshiping the Lord in spirit or are you worshiping the Lord in your cell phone? And he opened his mouth completely speechless. Completely speechless. He's playing with his game. But he's coming, sitting down to worship the Lord. Is he worshiping in spirit? No. He's playing with his cell phone. I'm sorry. If you don't do that, worship in spirit. And second, truth. That means that your worship is based only on the Bible. Okay, only on the Bible. So, four things I want to keep in mind. Participate in Sunday worship. Not just to come and sitting down stationary, passively. Participate in your Sunday service. Number two, in truth, participate in your Sunday school. You're going to learn about the Word of God. Number three, participate in prayer meeting. It's only through prayer that you can understand the Spirit of God. Could the Spirit help you to utter words that beyond human understanding? Okay? Number four, fellowship. It's through the encouragement of the Spirit together, the Word of the Lord can be abiding in you. Four things. Participate. Now, the word participate is more important just by attending. I attend the Sunday service. I attend the Sunday school. I attend the fellowship. I attend the prayer meeting. But you just sit there and doing nothing. I attend. I'm sorry. That is not what I want. I want you to participate. Please participate. Okay? It's extreme. Next, please. Devote in the glory of Christ. The word glory means pride, boast. Okay? You give all the credit only to the Lord. The word glory, give credit. Next, please. Give credit to Him. Okay? The name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified in you in the name of the Lord. Remember, we always use His name, but only to glorify Him. Okay? And you ask me how to glorify Him. Whatever success, whatever that you have, that you can boast in front of others, you give it to the credit of Jesus Christ. Okay? Two things. Number one, you must bear fruit to glorify Him. If you don't have any fruit to glorify Him, no one will see your good deeds. Sorry. And there are two kinds of fruit I want you to focus on. Number one, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control. All these, it's extremely important. Have you sung that song, the Fruit of the Spirit? You sung that song. Let's sing it together. One, two, three. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there's no law. If you can carry those spiritual gift, you're going to glorify Him. Number two. Now, this is the beginning of the year. January, today is January the 21st, okay? You got to share the name of Jesus to others. How many of you in the past 21 days already shared the name of Jesus to others? Can I see, share the name of Jesus? Share this gospel. Praise the Lord. Now, it doesn't matter whether that person believes in Christ or not. It does not matter. Okay? The only one who believes in Christ is because of the motivation and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It's not because of your eloquence. You're able to convince him or her. No, 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 no. Okay? But you must share. So I'm going to urge you for the rest of this year, 2018, okay, share at least to five persons the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to bear fruit from. Now, it doesn't matter whether they believe or not, okay? It doesn't matter, okay? All right? You know, David Livingstone, right? He said that in his 30 years of ministry, no one believed in Christ. No one. But he translated the Bible, everything. Not a single individual believed in Christ. No. But he shared to so many, okay? So it's not the people who believe in Christ that count. It's the number of people you share the name of Jesus. Let me correct myself. It's not the number of people believing Christ. It's the number of people you share the name of Jesus to glorify Him. Is that clear? Is that clear? Next, please. Number five, eliminate the confidence of the flesh. Can you carry on? Next, please. Read that together with me. One, two, three. Then Jesus said to his disciple, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The word deny himself means to repent. Okay? You're going to deny yourself. That means you know that you're sinful. Okay? I'm going to give you two major differentiate. There's difference between a natural conviction and a spiritual repentance. A natural conviction, they are concerned about the symptom of sin. Okay? Let's say someone kill anyone. They're concerned about the consequence. Okay? The symptom. They're concerned about the terrorists. Oh, they're killing so many bodies. He feel merciful, feel sympathy towards the people that get killed. Okay? That's the symptom. But a spiritual repentance, he hates the disease. He hates the disease. He hates sin to the extent that he will stop sinning. He repent. Okay? I've been working with the anti-drug organization, and it's called the Operation Dawn, for over 11 years. And most of the people, I asked them, why are you coming to this center? And they said, I don't like the symptom of having drug, because they feel that they are not healthy. But I said to them, you got to hate drug. You got to develop the personality of hating drug. Okay? So natural conviction is, they are concerned about going to hell. They don't want to go to hell. That's why they believe in Jesus. But they never hate sin. They never hate sin. They carry on a sinful way. I just want to get a ticket to heaven. A boarding pass to the plane to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. They're only concerned about the symptom. But they don't care about the disease. But you and I got to be very careful. You got to deny yourself by knowing that you are a sinner. You got to hate sin. So the success rate in Operation Dawn, it's only about 50%. 50% of people, they quit drugs, they quit smoking, everything. But when they return to the society, they go back to drug, they go back to smoking again because they don't hate cigarette. They just hate the symptom. But the other 50%, they repent. They hate drug. They said that they even hate the smell of cigarette. And I want you to develop that. Deny yourself. The pride of your own flesh. That is the sinful flesh. Hate your sin. And it's extremely important. Okay? Deny yourself. So five things together. Okay? Carry on. Go on together. Allow, A. Allow to rejoice in Jesus. B. Beware of the false teaching. C. Commit in spiritual worship. D. Dwell in the glory of Christ. C. E. Eliminate confidence in the flesh. Okay? Keep that five things in mind. Okay? If you keep that in mind, congratulations. You are a genuine Christian. And I'm going to give you the story about the Rolex. You know how a Rolex, the flaw of Rolex is? You know the second hand in a Rolex? In a real Rolex, it's going this way, continuously. Continuously, okay? But in a counterfeit Rolex, you know what happened to that Rolex? It goes this way. It stopped every single second. That is the flaw of that particular Rolex. But it has the same function of telling the right time. But it's whether it's true or false, it depends on the outcome of the second hand. And you and I are going to be careful with what you believe. You must learn. Number one, allow yourself to rejoice in the Lord. Number two, beware of false teaching. Number three, commit in a service of spirit. Number four, you're going to devote yourself to glorify Jesus Christ. Number five, eliminate any confidence in your flesh. Let's bow our head and pray. Father, we love you so much. And realizing we may not be a very genuine Christian. We may not be. But we learn to be a genuine Christian. We may not be the genuine Rolex. We learn to be. Only through the blood of Jesus Christ. And people purchase a painting for $400 million. But we are way more expensive than $400 million because we are purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. May you be with us so that for the rest of life, we are not only concerned about our own salvation, we start to glorify you. We focus on not to put confidence in the flesh. We focus on spiritual worship. We focus on rejoice in the Lord. And we also focus on to discern the false teaching. May you be with us for the rest of our day, so the day will be a day of glorification unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you to read the last verse before we close. Let's read it loud and clear, slowly. 1, 2, 3. Test yourself to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourself, or do you not recognize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test. And I hope that you won't fail this test. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Wan. And as a response to this powerful sermon message, let's all rise and join our voice and heart in the last song, Hosanna.